Good morning, everybody. I was wondering if there's anybody here that has ever been sitting around watching TV, reading, maybe darning socks. I'll show you how I darn socks. This darn sock has a hole in it. Anyway, if you've been sitting around doing not much of anything important and the door knocks, so what do you say? Who could that be knocking at the door? Okay? What if it was, you answered the door and it was God? We'd invite him in and give him a hot beverage, of course. What if it were an angel? How would you know? Because he has wings and he's a shiny white suit. Sorry, I have to tell you this, but angels don't have wings. They don't need to fly. They can appear and reappear. They're spiritual. So if you see somebody walking on with white wings on their back, I'd be very careful. Now, angels, they transpose that word in the Bible. Angel literally means messenger. But sometimes they call angels men, which means angels. So you have to do a little research to find out for sure what they're talking about. I was going to just focus on angels and leave God out of it, more or less. But that's almost impossible, because you know if there's an angel present, God isn't too far away. And most of the time, and the people in the Bible that I've read about, God came to them first. And if they didn't heed what he said, then he sent an angel. And that could be good, and that could be not so good, depending on why you made God mad in the first place. Now, I believe that the first place to start on any subject is at the beginning. So, in the book of Genesis, Genesis 1:1, it says, in most Bibles it says, in the beginning, God created. But in the original text, it says God in the beginning. The very first word of the Bible is God. So we have to say that's where we started. And then later on, the angels did their thing. Now, God spoke directly with several people. Adam was the first, of course. But he spoke with Eve, Noah, Jonas, Abraham and Sarah, which was originally Abram and Sarai, but they changed their name. God changed their name. And then, but the first person, according to the book, for the first person that actually spoke to an angel was in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And we start off with Abraham, but he's still Abram now. It says, this is the first time that Abraham spoke to God. The Lord said unto Abraham, Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And it continues on through a lot of exciting things, but we're trying to focus on the conversations that God and Abraham had. Then we go to Genesis chapter 15. Okay, God's talking to Abram again. Do not be afraid. Oh, first, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Elijah of Damascus? Now back then, even today, I suppose, but back then especially, having children was a major thing. It shows that you are fertile, for one thing. And for another thing, the kids helped you. Especially if you are a farmer, if you don't have kids, you have to do all that work by yourself. And what's that, Tim? Okay, Genesis chapter 15, verse 3. You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then God said, the word of the Lord said, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. That's that was the first time God said that to Abram. But he said it to him many times, but he was waiting for the right time. See? God has all the patience in the world, but some of us don't. So chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Now that's about as impatient as you can get. God tells your husband that you're going to have a baby, but you can't wait. So you have your husband sleep with somebody else. Okay then. Abraham agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai's wife took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. No, not really his wife, just his mother of his child. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abraham, you are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now she knows she is pregnant. She despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Your servant is in your hands, Abram said. Do with her whatever you think best. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar. So she fled from her. Verse 7. This is the first time the angel has appeared and spoken to a human being, according to the Bible. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was a spring that is beside the road of Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count. That's another promise from God to Hagar. She slept with a married man because that was the right thing to do at the time. But now this angel's telling her she's going to have a whole teepee full of kids eventually. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will so increase your descendants, they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now with child, and you will have a son. Okay, that was the first time an angel talked to somebody. Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. God also said to you, here we go, he changed his name finally to Abraham. As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. King of peoples will come from her. See, that's like the second or third time God already told Abram that his wife will have a baby. Chapter 18, verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great tree of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord. Do not pass your servant by, that a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant. Very well, they answered. Do as you say. Verse 10. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. There. One more year. He's already 90-something years old. What's one more year, right? Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Isn't anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the time appointed next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. She lied to God. I mean, come on now. But he said, yes, you did laugh. It's like, don't do it again, please. Chapter 19. Oh, excuse me. Chapter 18, verse 23. The lighting in this place is not so great. Then Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away all this? Okay, after these three men came and visited Abraham, by the way, those three men were angels. Okay, because they asked Abraham where his wife was, and why would anybody that wasn't an angel or affiliated with God know or care? And it says men, but they were definitely angels. The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? They're talking about the city of Sodom. Okay. Now, this is kind of funny because Abraham was playing poker with God, basically. He started off, he said, well, how about if I can find 50 righteous people, will you save the city? God said, fine, 50. Then Abraham said, well, how about 40? How about 30? All the way down to 10. 10 people. God said, if you can find 10 righteous people in this city, we'll save it. Genesis chapter 19. The two angels arrived in Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning. No, they answered, we will spend the night in the square. But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them. Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, no, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. He called them friends. And see, verse 10. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. The angels did. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness so they could not find the door. The two men said to Lot, do you have anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry of the Lord against his people was so great that he has sent us to destroy it. See, when he was keeping those people away from the angels, he wasn't trying to protect the angels, he was trying to protect the people, because for some reason he considered them friends. He liked some of them, even though they were very evil, actually. Evil people. That's why God wants to destroy the whole city. Verse 15. With the coming of the dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. See, Lot was still hesitating. He didn't want to leave, even though he knew that the whole city was going to be destroyed. But the angels saying, come with us if you want to live. Verse 23, by the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and all the entire plain. Verse 26, but Lot's wife looked back. For some reason, God didn't see fit to give us Lot's wife's name. Now there are a few women in the Bible that they didn't have that. Samson's mother was Samson's mother. Lot's wife was Lot's wife. I think her name was Morton, though. There you go. We got one here. Okay. But Lot's wife looked back. Now, that's a literal. She literally turned around and looked back at the city. Her heart was still back there. And she had friends and people she really cared for. However, she became a pillar of salt. She hadn't made that break from all the evil behind us. She turned around missing that stuff, and so it was down to Lot and his two daughters to carry on the family name. Okay, please turn to the book of Numbers. Chapter 22. This is a very interesting story. It's kind of humorous to me, but maybe not to you. Chapter 22, verse 4. Numbers, chapter 22, verse 4. The Moabites said to the elders of Midian, this horde is going to lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field. So Balak, son of Zippor, who was king of Moab at that time, sent messengers to summon Balaam, son of Beor, who was at Pethor, near the river. In his native land, Balak said, a people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the land and have settled next to me. Now come and put a curse on these people, because they are too powerful for me. Perhaps then I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the country, for I know that those you bless are blessed, and those you curse are cursed. Verse 9. God said to Balaam and asked, who are these men with you? Like he didn't already know. You know, it's a test. It's kind of like when God asked Cain who his brother was. I think he already knew the answer to that question. Balaam said to God, Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent me this message. A people that has come out of Egypt covers the face of the land. Now come and put a curse on them for me. Perhaps then I will be able to fight them and drive them away. But God said to Balaam, do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people because they are blessed. The next morning, Balaam got up and said to Balak's princes, go back to your own country, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you. Verse 20. That night, God came to Balaam and said, since these men have come to summon you, go with them, but do only what I tell you. Balaam got up in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Okay, now why was God mad? There are several people, thousands of people, in fact, I looked it up on the internet, that they read this story and they don't know what the heck is going on. They don't have a clue. Why was God mad at Balaam when he already told him he was all right to go? Then when he goes, God gets mad at him. Okay? This is a different, this is not the King James Version. That's most of my studies and reading over the years have been through the King James Version. And it went from this version to the Blue Book. But when they translated the Blue Book from King James, it wasn't always a perfect translation. Thought I had it marked. Oh, I did it right there. Okay. And King James, verse 20, says, "And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If, biggest word in the English language, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them." It does not say that in the Blue Book. It just says he got up in the morning and left. It didn't say that God told him, the guys are supposed to come to you first, then you can leave. So God was just a little more upset than you would can imagine. Okay, verse 22. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, she turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat her to get her back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between two vineyards, with walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat her again. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, and he was angry and beat her with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." Now, if I were riding a donkey and I was angry enough to beat it with a stick, which would never happen, but if I did something to that donkey and then the donkey started talking to me, I don't know what I would do. I would be a little distressed. But see, Balaam was a soothsayer, a fortune teller, and a believer in God. So he's seen some weird stuff. So a talking donkey, that's just one more thing, you know. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in the narrow place, okay. Oh, sorry, verse 29. Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made a fool of me. I would kill you if I had a sword." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "No," he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the anger of the Lord standing in the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me." Now, Balaam was on speaking terms with God. He asked God for advice about cursing these people and cursing those people, and God said, "Don't do it," and everything else. But now he's in a tight situation, and he can't even see an angel. He's so stressed out, and he's after the money, okay? That's what it's all about. "The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If she had not turned away," this is the angel saying, "if she had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared her." Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now if you are displeased, I will go back." The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but speak only what I tell you. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Now, I'd like to tell you this had a happy ending, but if you look in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the face is not in him. For everything in the world... Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wrong book, sorry. Second Peter 2:15. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. That was in the New Testament, so they're referring back to stuff that happened hundreds of years ago. So apparently, Balaam wasn't such a good guy. Okay, please turn to the book of Daniel. Now, I'm going to read this to you out of the King James Version because to me it's a lot more bite to it, more zing, more accurate for one thing. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. And that's a big golden calf. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Verse 4. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Verse 8. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not the gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage, in fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You know that you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Now that's a bold statement right there. You're talking to the king. But I don't care what you say, we're not going to do it. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee. That means if he does not choose to save us, or if he cannot, which is not the fact. Either way, we are not going to bow down. We will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Okay. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. He was so angry, his face distorted. His blood vessels stuck out in his head, horns popped up. He didn't look like a human being. He was so angry. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should be heat the furnace one seven times more than it want to be heated. Verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, surprised, amazed, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O Lord. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake, and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is that you in there? Ye servants of the men, Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were the coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel. Okay? That wasn't the Son of God, that wasn't God in the fire with the three men, it was an angel. I know it wasn't God because God would have said so. God wrote this book. He created all we see. He is not ashamed or bashful about taking credit for anything he's done or said. If he had been in that fire with those men, he would have said so. But it says right there that they saw an angel. And delivered his servant that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I made a decree that every people, nation, and language should speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces and their houses shall be made a dunghill. That's pretty severe. But look at the change in that man. Because I made a golden calf, and everybody in this whole state, country, is going to worship it anytime you hear the music. If you don't, we're going to kill you. And now he's saying, you're worshiping the one true God, I will kill you. Now, he gave him an option, but the change that came over, the transformation of that man, he went from being so angry, devil-possessed, you couldn't recognize him. Now he's saying, you guys are wonderful, and I love your God, and have a nice day. Whoa, we're running late today. Okay, I have one more thing to say. When I was here last time, I talked about Zechariah and Sarah having a baby named John the Baptist. Okay, well, I said that John, or Zechariah, had to wait until John was born before he could talk to him. Because he disbelieved the angel and was cursed with being a mute for another 9 months. Which is funny because Sarah and Abraham, Sarah laughed at God and God just shucked it off. But Zechariah doubted the angel and he was, you can't say another word for 9 months. Well, his wife is pregnant. Sometimes you don't want to talk to your wife when they're pregnant because they get a little weird. But I made a mistake, okay? They were Jews. So when John the Baptist was born, you have to wait 8 days, then you circumcise him, and you name him. That was when Zechariah regained his ability to talk. Now, I have a son, and my wife and I went through the Moz classes. So when he was born, I was there. Trust me, I had a lot to say. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. If you ever wonder what an angel looks like, I told you, they don't have wings. They don't wear white, shiny suits. If you want to know what an angel looks like, turn your head to the left or to the right. Anybody in here? Anybody outside? Nope. Chapter 13, verse 2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." Have a good day.